Highland Sports is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Find everything you need to kick off your fitness journey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
A very good evening. Welcome along to another edition of The Score. Coming up on tonight's programme, we'll be talking National Football League Division 1 with former Donegal and Monaghan players Martin McHugh and Dermot Malone ahead of their clash this coming weekend. Donegal and Tyrone will meet in the under-20 Leo Murphy Cup final on Saturday. We'll hear from the managers, Gary Duffy of Donegal and Paul Devlin of Tyrone. But we're going to start with soccer. Ex-Fan Harps, now Drogheda United player Keith Cowan joins us this week on our League of Ireland talk. Harps, of course, are chasing a first one when they host St Pat's tomorrow night, Friday, before a trip to Sligo. It is, of course, a double weekend of fixtures. League leaders Derry City go to UCD ahead of the Drogheda tie at the Brandywell next Monday. Keith spoke to me earlier today and first of all was telling me about his time so far with the Drogs.
It's been great. You know, it's been, I suppose initially when the move came about, it wasn't something that I was thinking about. I was happy enough with Dungannon where I was and things were going quite well there. And then, you know, initially when I got the phone call, it just seemed too good of an opportunity to turn down. And being down there, been around Drogheda, been around the club, you know, it's a well-supported club and, you know, the town, the infrastructure, the club, you know, they're really behind the team in that and sort of, you know, trying to improve things and, you know, do everything right in a professional manner as possible. So, yeah, look, I've been really enjoying the training again, working with different coaches, different players. It's all fresh. It's all new at the minute. So it's a real, I suppose, motivational factor, all that as well. So, no, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Obviously, it's a bit of a jaunt to get down there at times. I suppose I'm only in there about a month now at this stage, and I'm just really enjoying it.
Yep. Listen, the first one last weekend against UCD, obviously you'll be looking to build in that now, but two teams that you know very, very well, Keith, two North West sides are going to provide the opposition in the double weekend, Sligo Friday, Derry Monday.
Yeah, look, it's going to be difficult. You know, I suppose Sligo have, you know, again, recruited really well over the transfer window there and the time off, and Derry obviously as well. So I suppose very different sides maybe to when I played them last. But look, we know they're dangerous. We know, look, Sligo have made a good start. Derry have made a great start. So Sligo coming up on Friday. Yeah, we have them at home. So it's going to be, you know, if you can sort of take care of your home results, a great win last week against UCD, which, you know, was always going to be a difficult game going into it because, you know, they had been keeping clean sheets and we're thinking, are we going to be able to break these down? But, you know, be able to get four goals against them was just going to give us a lift, you know, going into this game. We definitely won't be taking it lightly at all. You know, Sligo, again, a very good side, very well organised. Have recruited well. And then again, you know, Derry on the Monday night, then a quick turnaround. We all know, you know, the injection of funds they've had with the quality of players they've been able to bring in. And, you know, as we saw, everyone thought Shamrock Rovers was going to be the team to catch at the start of the season. And maybe that might still come into fruition. But Derry have shown a great start, unbeaten. And, you know, they'll be tough on Monday night for sure.
Yeah, so a big weekend for Drogheda coming up. Double weekend, obviously, for everybody. Is this the weekend that possibly maybe Finn Harps could get that first victory in the Premier Division, Keith?
I don't see any reason why not. Look, obviously, Pats, again, have recruited well. Tim Clancy, new manager coming in there, he'll know Harps very well, obviously, with his time at Drogheda. So he'll have them well warned about going up to Finn Park on Friday night. It's a tough enough track there at the minute, as Harps will be using to their advantage. And, you know, as I've been a part of that over the years, and, you know, we know on that surface, you know, that we can take any team if we can turn it into a battle. So that's what Harps would have been looking to do, as they showed against Bowes, getting a great point last week and, you know, coming from 1-0 down, right, Conley scoring a great goal. So they get to get them back and to get their first points on the board. So, yeah, look, it'll be tough. Obviously, you know, the quality that Pats have, and, you know, they'll be buoyed by, you know, a 1-0 win last week against Shamrock Rovers. So they'll know it'll be a tough game. They know what to expect up in Ballofay, but hopefully Harps can get the first 3 points and sort of get themselves up and running.
Yeah, and they'll be hoping that the Tunde Olabi won't be in the form that he showed last year when he had a Harps jersey on him, Keith.
Yeah, difficult. Well, look, you know, they'll know, a lot of the players will know him. Ollie obviously will know him inside out and know his strengths and his weaknesses. So, look, they'll be trying to obviously stop him. And, you know, Olabi was such, come the second part of the season last year, he was prolific for Harps and, you know, got them into a great position in the league. And his goals will be, they'll be missed big time this year. Again, you know, it'll probably take a few of the new signings to come in. You know, it's almost a totally different squad going in there. I think there was something like maybe six new players started the game last week from last season. So that's a lot of new bodies, a lot of new relationships, players taking time to gel. And I think, well, no better time for them to gel than maybe this week against Pats.
Yeah, you've been involved in Harps squads obviously previously, Keith, where there was big shifts in numbers. Does it take long for the team to bed in together when there is such a large amount of turnover of players?
It can, yeah, I suppose it can. I suppose like when you're speaking about like, different players, maybe like what they're used to, where they come from, you know, styles of play. You know, we bring different elements into it. You know, the weather, the we already had one game cancelled because of snow. You know, some of these lads might be used to those type of different factors. But I think, look, football, it's universal, isn't it? And you know, once these lads, you know, build those relationships, get more time together. They'll see, I suppose, and you have to obviously, you know, buy into the fabric of the club as well, and you know the way that Ollie's looking to do things. But there's, you know, there's enough lads that have been there before that, you know, the likes of McGinley, Ethan Boyle, you know, those type of boys that have been around the club, and they'll soon, you know, be able to, I suppose, teach these lads or inform these lads very soon about, you know, what it is about to play for Harps. And the crowd seems to be big as well, which is going to make a massive factor. You know, playing in front of fans is huge, and hopefully it won't take, hopefully it won't take too long for these lads to settle and, you know, I say Harps to get their first one.
Yep. As for Keith Cowan making a return to Finn Park or playing against Harps, your old club, has that been sitting in the back of your mind since you joined Drogheda? Because that's a game that all Harps fans will be talking about.
Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, it's one that obviously, I'm not going to lie now, once I had the conversation with Kevin Dory, the manager then Drogheda, I had a look at the fixtures and wouldn't you know, Harps was going to be up first, obviously. The elements took care of that one, and it was postponed to the 4th of April. Look, again, it'll be strange going back there and playing against Harps. Obviously, I've never done that before. But no, it's one that if you let it become something, then you can. But at the end of the day, look, you're going to have to play against another team now, and you know, obviously, you have the crowd there as well that I'd be familiar with, and. But I think you just sort of have to put that at the back of your mind and just sort of focus on the job at hand. And, you know, like I say, I'm playing for Drogheda United now, so I have to go and do my best for them.
Yeah. Come that time, the 4th of April, do you hope to be in there, Keith, and having bedded in a starting role in the heart of the defence for the Drogs?
Yeah, well, like, I suppose I was hoping to be there, you know, kind of for the first game. And then, you know, I was away for a bit and then got back in last week again. So hopefully by then, I would like, but say if the team's winning, you can't break up a winning team, and you know, you want to sort of encourage the lads around you. But like, for sure, like, I'm not going down to Drogheda to sit on the bench or, you know, or to be a cheerleader or sort of, you know, try and encourage the young lads. I'm going down there to play, and, you know, and sort of encourage the lads around me from that position of playing. So, no, like, very much so. Like, there's good competition down there. They've got a lot of talent down there, got a lot of good young players, and got a lot of experienced players too. So I'm very much want to be a part of that from my starting position on the field.
Yeah, you've probably got less travelling to do this weekend with Drogheda than what you will for the rest of the year, given that the two matches are Sligo and Derry, Keith.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I suppose the Sligo one isn't Drogheda, to be fair now, but the Derry one very much is a home game for me. So I guess to say I'll be back at the house with the feet up before the boys have even left the changing rooms, maybe on Monday night. But I suppose, you know, that sort of came into contention as well when I was thinking about, you know, would it be worth going down there? As far as I'm going this year is Tala, like, you know, so that's the furthest away game, being in Dublin. So there's no trip to Cork, no trip to Waterford, no trip to, obviously, Limerick or nothing like that now. So, look, as I say, it's all experience now at my age, you know, coming to the end of your career, and, you know, the opportunity to play in for a different club under new management and stuff was something that was just too good to turn down. And yes, you can say the miles are tough and that there, but, you know, when you look back at it, when your career's over, you know, playing for a club like Drogheda, it's going to be something that I'll be very proud of.
Yep. Let's go back to the fixtures on Friday again. Suppose the standout tie, fair to say, Rovers against Bohemians. That one's a sellout in Dublin, and that's the one that all the focus will be on at the weekend, Keith.
Yeah, it's always one, I suppose, that the Dublin lads be talking about, and it's a huge game, and it's one where Rovers will be looking to bounce back from. Bohs maybe will think that they maybe dropped points last weekend, I suppose, after being 1-0 up against Harps, and, you know, coming away with a point there. We've seen, I suppose, from the start of the season, we looked at the Rovers squad, and you're thinking that the embarrassment of riches that they have, and, you know, anybody who's anybody from who seems to come back from England or come back from abroad just seems to go to Rovers. It's an automatic that they end up there. But it hasn't materialised for them. You know, obviously two defeats already. You know, a defeat against Derry, which we said was going to be a tough place to go for every team this year. But, you know, that Derry crowd and the enthusiasm they have from the new signings that they brought in, you know, that's been tough. And then, you know, losing to a Dublin rival already last week in St. Pat's is going to be tough for them. So this is going to be a great game. Very, very much be tuned into this one on Friday night.
Yeah. Do you keep it? Yeah. You've obviously are now a former Harps player, as we well know. Do you keep an eye on the rest of the former Harps guys that are kicking around the league? Obviously, the likes of Mark Coyle, player of the year last year, a prominent figure in a lot of the Harps teams that you were involved with, and he decided to make the move to Dublin, Keith.
Oh, definitely. You know, I was speaking to Mark. We played Shells actually in pre-season as well. So speaking to Mark about the move, and, you know, congratulated on the move. It was a great opportunity for him to go and experience full-time football under Damien Duff, you know, who has, you know, done everything in the game, won leagues, you know, played in the Champions League. He's a great someone who you can obviously learn a lot from. So spoke to Mark about that, and obviously Sean Boyd there as well, and Dan Hawkins as well. So Shells have done pretty well off the back of off the back of Finn Harps last year, and how well they've done. And then I suppose the initial move to Drogheda, I spoke to a former Harps player, Dan O'Reilly, who went to Hamilton. So he's the one actually got in contact with me, thinking, would I be interested to go to Drogheda? So still keep in contact with the boys for sure. And, you know, I think Shells getting the 3 points down in Drogheda 2 weeks ago got their season up and running, and it'll be in a game that we, you know, would have been hoping we could have got more out of. But Mark's doing really well. As I said, good opportunity for him. But yeah, definitely always keep in contact with the boys that I used to play with for sure.
Yeah. We might just go maybe to the international front. Stephen Kenny this week getting a new deal as Republic of Ireland manager. Is that a welcoming move by the FAI in your view?
I think so. I think Stephen Kenny, you know, really had a tough start to the career, or sorry, his tenure there in the with the international setup, you know, through COVID and through injuries. He never really had a full deck to sort of pick from and form and different things from certain players. That seems to have changed, and, you know, he's really embedded his ethos into the group, and there really seems to be sort of an influx of sort of new talent coming as well. He seemed to find positions for certain players to have a real strong unit, and a couple of, you know, really positive results to the end of the campaigns that have just gone by there now. So I think once he has everyone back now, hopefully fit, and a lot of players at his disposal. So, you know, the quality of football that they are playing, the system that seems to be embedded now within the squad seems really good. So I think that's definitely the right opponent from the FAI. So I think moving forward, it'll be really positive for Irish football.
Yeah, looks like it. Listen, Keith, it's always good to talk to you. Thanks for joining us on our League of Ireland chat this week. And we wish you all the best with your time at Drogheda.
Cheers, Oisín. Yeah, no, look, it was good to chat to you again. If you ever want to chat about Man United on here, we can have a time to
see you. Well, I'll go there. We're running out of time, so we are, Keith. We're running out of time. All right, thanks, Keith.
Cheers, Oisín.
There you go. That's Keith Cowan, ex-Fan Harps captain, now Drogheda United player, looking at the League of Ireland Premier Division action this weekend. And we'll have more from Keith this coming Sunday in the middle of those two rounds of fixtures, which have been played on Friday and on Monday. And you can watch that interview in full with Keith. It's available now in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. Some other soccer fixtures, standout games this coming weekend. Well, they actually start tonight because the first of the semi-finals in the Donegal News Ulster Senior League Cup will take place. Bunnegie United are playing Derry City Reserves. Kick-off time out at the Dry Arch Park is 8 o'clock. The second semi-final is Coghill Celtic against Monaghan United, and that one's on Saturday, and it kicks off at 2 o'clock. Number of big games in the Donegal Junior League this weekend as well. Among them, a top-of-the-table clash in the Saturday Division 1. The joint leaders are Glencar Celtic and Donegal Town Reserves, and they will meet in Letterkenny on Saturday afternoon, kicking off at 1 o'clock. While on Sunday, the big game in the Premier Division sees Kildrum Tigers up against Kilmacrenan Celtic. Kilmacrenan are, of course, the leaders by a point ahead of Bunnegie on 24 at the top of the table. But further on down the table, currently sitting fourth from bottom, are Kildrum Tigers on 17 points. But they do have five games in hand. So if they were to win all of their five games in hand, they will certainly be in the mix for the Premier Division title. While in Division 1 of the Donegal Junior League this weekend, there's a big derby. Fannage United, the leaders, are hosting fourth place Kerrykeel 71. And things also still very interesting in the Premier Division in Inishowen. The leaders are Greencastle. They took on third place Buncrana Hearts. Greencastle currently have a 3-point lead over Alia at the top of the table. Alia go to fourth place Coghill Youths on a Sunday. Gaelic games wise, the first of the fixtures this weekend is a college match, and it's on tomorrow afternoon at the Astro at the DCU campus. It's the Ladies Higher Education Moynihan Cup Final, and the LYIT from Letterkenny are involved. They're taking on MTU Cork. Throw-in to that All-Ireland Moynihan Cup decider is at 4:30 tomorrow afternoon, and in her first year in charge as manager, Katie Hearn, Donegal player, is looking to guide the LYIT to All-Ireland success. We wish them all the best of luck with that. Then on Saturday, there's a big derby match in the GAA Football Under 20 Development League for the men. It's for the Leo Murphy Cup, and the decider taking place at the O'Donnell Park in Letterkenny after Donegal won the toss. It's Donegal against Tyrone. 12 noon is the throw-in time to that game on Saturday afternoon. Let's hear now from the managers coming up, Paul Devlin, the Tyrone boss. But firstly, Tom Comack has been speaking to the Donegal Under 20 manager, Gary Duffy.
Well, Gary, three straight wins so far, so good into the Leo Murphy Cup final, the Development League at under 20. How do you approach this game now? Do you approach it as another, maybe, you know, in the process of developing a team, or do you go full blooded and all out to win it?
Well, first of all, Tom, it was a affirmative campaign for us. Like, we're delighted to get through to the final, and we're pleased that we gave a vast number of players game time throughout the league, and that's what's important at this level. So when we reflect on over the three games, you know, it's about developing the players. Indeed, there are a lot of learning from it, and that's what we're hoping to take to the game this weekend as well.
Yeah, so the fact that it's a final, you know, is coincidental, really, is it? It's just another good game preparing for your championship.
Yeah, look, it's what it's about to the championship. It's this Development League's preparation for the championship. At the light of the, like, silverware at the end of it, there's no denying it. Every team and every managed team like to see silverware. It's not the end all or be all. It's good that we have the likes of the Development League so we can get these players on a good positive footing going into the championship.
I see you've won the first argument anyway. You've won the toss, you've got a home advantage.
Yeah, it's nice to get a home advantage at O'Donnell Park. We haven't trained much or played much in O'Donnell Park, so it's we'll balance it a bit. I know I'm not trying to undermine the we want a home venue, of course, but it's nice to get it there. But we haven't done much in O'Donnell Park this year, and I know it's in good condition and fair play to Vince McGlynn to work up there to have O'Donnell Park available for us.
Are you a bit disappointed it's not in Ballybuffy, obviously, given that you're playing Armagh and Ballybuffy in, what, 3 weeks?
Look, no disappointment in it. Our expectation was we will get a home game in McCool Park before championship, and we got that last week, and that's down to McCool's club again, who worked really hard to let us in there last weekend. It was touch and go, and it was maybe a call in the middle of the week last week to get us on there. So look, we're appreciative to get County ground. So we are at not all, it wasn't all the case throughout this development league.
I counted and I may have missed one or two, but I think, was it 26 players you've used so far in the three games? Is that your own panel, or have you got anybody else? Obviously, we haven't seen Jamie Grant or Donald McBride yet.
Yeah, look, we have 26 players used, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to see, can they adapt to the challenge which is the potential in front of them. And by the only way you'll see that is players in really competitive games. And it's nice to get a look at 26 players, the young lads coming through from under-19s and also under-18s, and we're trying to blend the mixture, and competitive game gets us to do that.
Close you to maybe getting your Championship 15, your Championship 20 in your mind?
Well, there'll always be a 24 or 25 players in your mind. There's different players popping up for different aspects of our plans and our systems, and our skill execution is highly regarded within the way the players are approaching the whole under-20 setup. So it does give us a nice blend and a nice mixture to sit and watch the front of us, really, and that's what we're trialing, and the league has been successful.
Tyrone, your opponents, obviously, you know, it's traditionally they're pretty strong. I see they won two of their games with big margins, and they drew the other. They beat Antrim well, and they had a big win over Down last weekend. In between, they drew with Loud. So, you know, you saw them last year up close. I'm sure they have a good few of last year's team as well, no more than you have.
Yeah, Tyrone is always a good blend of footballers. They bring that to the table from right under age. They have good structures in place, and that's why you're in a final. You don't get there unless you have good structure and you want to work hard. Our skill execution need to be excellent for Tyrone, with less indecisions when we go out on Saturday.
So what are you looking forward to get from Saturday's game?
Again, it's another step in the road towards Championship. It's we want to see, can we keep improving, keep learning the game. The challenge is, can we play a higher intense team, and how we cope with the scenarios that Tyrone will present us.
So winning isn't all that important. It's more about performance than winning, is it?
Look, everybody likes to win finals, and finals are to be won, and I'm not going to deny that to you, Tom. So there, and Tyrone are no different. We still like to win, but we want it. It's a challenge for us to see if we develop on what we've been working on.
Well, Paul, I suppose the first thing is, how good was it to get back to playing normally again, and maybe getting a warm up competition for your Championship?
That's good, Tom. It gives you a lot of, a few competitive games. You have a lot to look forward to building up the Championship, and any game with a competition aspect is better really than a challenge match any day of the week. The lads seem to get more clued into a game like that, so the redevelopment league works well for us all,
Yeah. And you played three games, two wins and a draw, two big wins and a draw.
Aye, I did two wins and a draw. And I said, Louth was a draw, and up and give a high Louth. It was a real stormy day, but like full credit to Louth, they played really well, and we had up our game the next day around again down, so we had,
Yeah. But you're running big scores against both Down and Antrim, and I suppose there's two ways we can look at that. You put the fear of God in everybody else, or they're just very weak, and you were left in a situation that you really don't know where you are. Which is it?
Well, it's a bit of both, sort of. It's the fear of God, if you want to look at that way, or just the opposition, sort of. But then a day, all you can do, Tom, the same as this weekend, is look at yourself, how you're going with your own game, and what way your lads conduct themselves, sort of, and really look into your panel and a group of players to see who can step forward and improve from last week, sort of, and that's what we'll look and do this weekend again, so we will. And no bigger challenge of the day in getting up again the Donegal under-20s.
Yeah, and obviously, Championship is everything, and you've such a record, you were going for three Ulsters last year until Donegal stopped you in your tracks. But in terms of where you're at, are you happy where you're at in terms of team, or do you still have a bit of tweaking to do, or a bit of finding out to do about players?
Oh, you do. You still know. We're out there all the time, Tom. We're continuing out there watching teams through the club championship and club leagues, and see if any lads who've been missed through academies and stuff. And if you look over the record, under-20s last 4 or 5 years, me and Dermot Curran been involved. A lot of teams who have been minor age, you're lucky that there's half of them under 20, so there's all these lads coming and going, and we're always finding out here in Tyrone, there's a lot of lads there, who had never played for the minors, who stepped forward near under 20s, so they have, and maybe improved well with the club. So a lot of credit must go back to the club there for bringing them lads on through as well. So generally that's where we're at all the time, developing and keeping looking out there for players, you know.
Yeah. And in terms of last year, have you got many players of carryover?
And the overall panel should be roughly about maybe 45% of players there, just short of half of them from last year. And it's what we always do there, sort of overcarry lads that are sort of developing and bringing them on. So we are. And if they're not ready for it, you know, and it was 2 years ago, hopefully in the final year they're ready for it, so they are, you know. And that's the only way we always work. Whenever dwelling at all, our lads at the 1 age, sort of take it, we spread all over and sort of develop them and see how they come forward with it.
Yeah. And have you got everybody available to you that you want, or is there anybody out there maybe with injury or whatever?
Oh, look, all there, ready to go. A couple of lads, that's a hurt knock there, sort of, they're just clearing them up, sort of, like, with generally, you know, 95%, 98% of all lads are ready to go and thrown the minute, sort of, and we've been blessed that way the year. A lot of credit has to go to our physio, Neil Ward, and his backroom team of the medical end, sort of. They've been brilliant with the work they've been doing, sort of, and they must take a lot of credit. They always forgot about a lot of these people at times when it comes to the big day, but they're really keeping things going well here in Tyrone, so they are.
And tell me, in terms of, obviously, the championship is the big one, and you're going to play the winners of Down or Fermanagh in that in the first round in a few weeks' time. In the scheme of things, you know, what are you looking from apart from the result, a result and a win, what are you looking from Saturday's game?
Well, Saturday's game is, again, preparation, you know, going forward to a championship match, so it is, again, so it is getting lads all ready, ready for the game, you know, the step up, so it is, you know, preparing for that game, that wake up till it, so it is, some lads like to take a few days, walk up till it, lads just happy enough to wake up that morning, away they go, so it is, what were their preparations, so it is, so really, it's coming so far, seeing the lads that came through the league games, couple of challenge matches we have, sort of, and then just, you know, as I always found out, Tom, you want to identify 20-22 players capable of stepping in on a championship game to win that match and that given time, sort of, and that's what we're really at here at the minute, so we are, yep.
Yeah, and how close to that 22 are you?
Wouldn't be far away now, but again, you know, we've seen here through the years there, we're thrown here, maybe a team down on the Tuesday night, the team is going to start on the Sunday through their programme, and next thing, we go to the Finn Field on the Thursday night and there's two all lads pop up, so we're known to make changes right up to the side, the whistle about we've blown to throw the ball in, and you've always lads, the good thing here with the lads, they're always jumping at the bit right up till that game's about to be played to get their nose in, so like, we're not far away, so we're not putting the gaps, so we're not just putting it
on. Yeah, and it is a final, you know, I know people, you know, so it might be dismissed the competition and kind of it is a development league, but I suppose when you get to final, you like to win one.
You do, look, you tell Gary Duffy and them lads the same thing. You get lads the final and finals, they're there for winning, so they are. That's, no matter what it's in, you want to get over the line, so you do. And it gives you now a good competitive game. It leaves you a good edge going into the championship with maybe having a league win, so it is in the competition. Like, we had that in the Philly McGuinness Cup back in 2019. And it brought us on really well through the All-Ireland semi-final. And, you know, it was missed last year, the competition, so it was, you know. So it's definitely something that we're not going up till Letterkenny on Saturday morning just to make up the numbers. So we're up there till really put the shoulder to the wheel and try and take that cup down the road with it.
That's Paul Devlin. And before that, Gary Duffy, ahead of the Leo Murphy Cup final, which is the Under-20 Development League. As for the Under-17 League, which is for the Jim McGuigan Cup, the second round of games are on Saturday afternoon as well. Two North West sides involved. Donegal go to Cavan. That game's been played at Kingspan Breffni Park, while Derry are hosting Sligo at Owen Beg. Both games also have a 12 noon start. Well, this Sunday, Donegal hosts Monaghan in another crucial Alliance League Division 1 encounter. A point or a win for Donegal, and top flight status is a cert with two games to play, while Monaghan need wins from their remaining games if they are to stay up. A Donegal win, a Kildare win at Armagh, and a Tyrone win at home over Dublin would ultimately mean the six-time All-Ireland champions Dublin would be relegated to Division 2 with a couple of games to play. Elsewhere, Derry will look to continue their push for promotion when they head for Roscommon on Sunday in Division 2 as well. We will, of course, have full live match commentary from McCool Park in Ballybuffet, Donegal against Monaghan this coming weekend. It starts at 1:45. Myself and Martin McHugh will be live as from 1:30. So it's another big weekend of games. Earlier today in our GA preview, our league preview, I was joined by Martin, and we were also hooked up with Dermot Malone, former Monaghan player, two-time Ulster Championship winner with Monaghan, to look ahead to the games this weekend. Dermot, and I suppose the first question is, with three games to go, sitting second bottom in the league, what's the atmosphere like around the county of Monaghan at the moment?
It's not ideal. I think looking at the league table and looking at Monaghan's opening fixtures, before the Kerry game, I think 2 points was a very poor reflection on how well Monaghan had actually played. You know, they could have got something more out of the first game against Tyrone. They definitely should have got something more out of the second game against Mayo. And then against Armagh, I feel if they had kept 15 men on the field, they would have been coming away with 2 points. But they played Kerry last week, shipped a heavy defeat. And, you know, as much as it is unfortunate and disappointing that they're sitting on 2 points and maybe they deserve more, at the end of the day, they're sitting on 2 points at the bottom of the table and they're very much sitting with their backs to the wall at the minute.
Yeah, but it was a similar situation to last year. You just needed late ones, didn't you, Dermot, to keep your top flight status. So is there panic buttons been hit yet, is there?
Not just yet. Yeah, as you say, this isn't the first time that Monaghan's been in this position in Division 1. I don't know what the run is now. It could be 9 years possibly in total. So they'll not hit the panic buttons just yet. There's still plenty of points on the table. A couple of tough games ahead of them. But no, the panic button, we'll wait until maybe the last game of the league before we hit the panic button.
How tough a game, Dermot, do you see this match against Donegal this weekend? Because the rivalry between Donegal and Monaghan has been fascinating at times, and you do have 2 Ulster Championship winners medal, and both came at the expense of Donegal in the Championship. But even league games as well, they're always fascinating battles. What's this one going to be like on Sunday from a Monaghan point of view?
I don't think there's going to be much in it. You know, looking at both teams, they both shipped fairly heavy defeats against Kerry. I think Donegal were beat by 9 points and Monaghan were beat by 8 points. Now, again, Donegal are coming off the back of a great win against Tyrone. Their tails will be up. Whilst on the flip side, Monaghan haven't registered a victory yet. Their backs are to the wall. It's a tough one to call. I had a man speaking to me yesterday from Monaghan who'd be very knowledgeable in Gaelic football, and he reckons that Donegal have not been beaten in Ballybuffet in 18 years in the league, so they'll have their hands full. I was tugged out at the game last year up. When Monaghan played Donegal, and I think Monaghan might have scored 4 goals past them. It's a big, big, big pitch. I'm expecting if weather conditions are any bit dry, it'll leave for an open game. But if weather conditions are quite poor, I'd imagine you could see the bus parked and 13, 14 men behind the ball.
Martin, what sort of tussle are you expecting at the weekend, Martin? Is this a good time in the league for Donegal to meet Monaghan, and a good time for Donegal to secure their top flight status?
Yeah, I suppose as you have a home match, and as Dermot said, it's a while since Donegal were beaten in Ballybuffet and everything else, but Monaghan are always very dangerous in the situation that are coming to Ballybuffet, probably most people not giving them a chance outside Monaghan. And I remember going back to 1995, a Donegal team that had beaten Down in the first round of the Ulster Championship, and Down were our Ireland champions at that stage, and they came to Ballybuffet and beat Monaghan. Now, Banty McEnany, the manager of Monaghan at the minute, came with a minor team a couple of years ago and beat Donegal. And he won a championship game in Ballybuffet against Donegal. I think it was 2007 around that time. It was a 17-16, a brilliant game, but Monaghan won that game. So Monaghan are one team coming to Ballybuffet that won't fear. Now, we took them to Ballyshannon a couple of years ago and beat them well there. It's just hateful that we weren't able to take them to Ballyshannon this time as well. So I don't think that they enjoyed their trip to Ballyshannon that day. So, yeah, it's a big game for both teams. I know Monaghan are short players, Donegal are short players and everything else, but football's all about on the day, and you can't read a wild lot into either defeat to Kerry. Looking at it, this is a different, completely game. It's an Ulster derby, and there's a lot at stake. As you said, Donegal won it, which is important. With Donegal, you know, not long to the championship, it's important to get your league status in place and then move on. And where Monaghan are battling, really, you'd have to say at the bottom. So big game for both teams, Oisín.
Yeah, big game, surely. But Donegal be confident going into this one, Martin, because that was a fantastic victory they took against Tyrone, the All-Ireland champions, last time out, with some of the big guys missing.
Yeah, exactly, Oisín. That was the big thing, especially the second. The first half performance was very, very poor. Probably one of our worst halves in Ballybuffet. But the second half performance was brilliant performance. And I suppose the big thing is that we won it without Michael Langan and Michael Murphy, or two of our best players, and that was probably the big plus in it from our point of view, Donegal point of view. Now, will either of them two players be back at the weekend? You'd hope that maybe either of them, or one of them at least, will be able to play some part in it. The one thing I was looking at, I know without them, I was looking at the scoring, Donegal scoring option. We got 11 points against Mayo, we got 2-10 against Tyrone, 7 against Kerry, and 11 against Kildare. Now, that's points. You know, just on that point of view, is that I know we got 2-11 against Kildare, but the thing is, 11 points won't be enough, I feel, to beat Monaghan on Saturday. I think it's the one thing that we have to get is more points on the board. Now, you can say what I said, that maybe without Michael Langan and Michael Murphy, that's a factor on that there, because they're two big scoring forwards, or Michael Langan playing wherever, midfield or forward. And then, I suppose, Kieran Thompson missed a couple of games too in there. So I think from that point of view, but I just would like to see us get more than 11 points, because you won't win most league games, or you definitely won't win championship games in the championship scoring 11 points, especially when the ground now starts to dry up a bit.
Yeah, and it's not going to be enough if Monaghan are going to go chasing goals like what they did the last time. The role of the keeper is hugely important in modern-day football, Martin and Dermot, and a lot of talk about the keepers, particularly this season, and the role that they're playing. But Martin, I do know that you would rate these two keepers that are going to meet at the weekend as the top two in the country.
Yeah, I'd feel that they're both up there as the top two. Since Cluxon retired, you have to think that. Now, the role of the goalkeeper has changed. Now, down in Kerry, they're very happy. They feel that they caught Began out the last day, Rory Began out the last day. They feel that there was a great work by them, that they worked during the week on catching them out and turning them over. But sometimes it's not actually the goalkeeper's fault. It's maybe sometimes the player out the field that gets turned over when he comes out. I think maybe looking at it, I don't think there's any need for the goalkeeper to pass the 45. I definitely think it's right to create that extra player, no doubt about it, with teams, especially when they drop back and everything else. It's no harm to that extra player to get out. And even if they do push up, that you can use the goalkeeper as that extra player, no doubt about it. But I don't think there's any need for the goalkeeper to cross the 45. I think it's after that, you know, anything can happen. And when what happened against Kerry, from Monaghan's point of view, to get caught out. I think the other thing is, maybe if you're down a man, if you're down to 14 men or something like that, I think then maybe the goalkeeper has to become an outfield player. The other thing they're doing, Ashley, and we've seen it when we're doing comedy there, is teams now are using the goalkeeper to push out on a player, to allow the team to push right up the field and have an extra forward up the field, but real pressure on the short kick out and make them to go along. So that goalkeeper ends up picking the last man up the field. Now, if it's turned over and the ball's won by the team taking the kick out and everything else, it's dangerous and everything else. But it definitely has changed the goalkeeper. And I met a couple of Donegal players during the week, and I was telling them at the minute, the way Gaelic football is, the only person going forward with the ball at the minute is the goalkeeper. Everybody else seems to be going back, and the goalkeeper's going forward.
Okay, what do you make of the role of the goalkeeper at the moment, Dermot, and particularly your own man, Rory Began? You played in recent years with Rory. What was your initial thoughts when you were in the opposition half and you look back and you've seen your goalkeeper coming tearing up the field?
Well, I'd largely agree with what Martin says there in a lot of aspects. First and foremost, I think Rory, Sean Patton and Niall Morgan are, in my opinion, the top three goalkeepers in the country. And I know, looking at the game last week against Kerry, the Sunday game did Rory no favours. But I must say that I don't feel that those goals were actually Rory Began's fault. Monaghan's turnover of the ball out around the middle of the field got him caught out. I would actually agree also, though, I don't think they should be going too much further than their own 45 or midfield. If they're just there for a potential back pass and a switch, so be it. But Rory's been fantastic. I don't think we'll see too much different this weekend. I don't think Monaghan will go back into their shell and we'll say Rory stay on the line 24/7. I think in particular, when you've seen against Armagh, when Monaghan went down to 14 men, if it wasn't for Rory Began that day, it's almost guaranteed that they would have lost that game. He was hugely influential coming out. So yeah, I think Monaghan need to take more care of the ball. I think we'll still see the same Rory Began coming up and down the field. And yeah, I'm looking forward to the kick-out battle, because both these keepers, what they can do what a lot of other keepers can't, they can kick it over the press. So you see Rory and Sean, if they feel they can put it on the opposition 45, which completely negates all of your goalkeeping tactics with regards to kick-outs and your presses. So looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah, can Monaghan get the goals that they found success with in recent years against Donegal? Can that happen again at the weekend? Or given the fact there's so many players missing and there's a couple of them there that are goal getters that won't be available this weekend, Dermot?
I think they can, but as you said, Monaghan are well stretched with the panel at the moment. I know last week they were missing Conor McCarthy, Ray McInnesby, Niall Cairns, Jack McCarron. Stephen O'Hanlon's not there at the minute. Conor McManus was limping for the entire game last week. So they'll have their hands full. Monaghan need the players on the field. And, you know, those players that I mentioned, I think Conor McCarthy maybe scored a hat-trick last year of goals against Donegal, and McManus maybe got the fourth. So they'll need those players on the pitch if they're going to start to do damage.
Yeah. Can Donegal get goals, Martin? The other side of the pitch, we got two the last day against Tyrone. You were saying about points, about not getting enough points. But listen, you're winning games even with that point total, but it's been bulked up by the goals. Martin, so if you're getting the goals, that there's really not that much of a concern in relation to your points, tally.
Yeah, well, I always think in Gaelic football, Oisín, it really is the you know, the points that when you look at the scoreboard, goals, you know, sometimes they happen, sometimes they don't, and it's great when you get them and all that there, but you have to really depend on your points tally. I think you're going to need, you know, from now on, you're going to need 14, 15 points at least to win a match. You're not going to get two goals in every game, and, you know, looking at, you might be lucky enough to get one and everything else. It's great that they are creating the goals, and I mean, the goal before half-time was so important against Tyrone. I think that was the big turning point in the match. It didn't look, Donegal were in big, big bother only for that goal. They needed a goal at that stage, and they got it, and fair play to them for getting it, because if we look at Tyrone, they created a lot of goal chances that day, but didn't score any goals. So, I mean, that probably cost them that match. But I think when we look at it, you know, goals are important, but I'd like to see the points. But I did say, you know, the two players that are missing and a couple other players make a difference. So looking at it, the great plus that we got out of the Tyrone game was the performance, I thought, of the young lads. That, you know, it was always great to have young lads coming through all the time. And that's the important thing from Donegal's point of view. And I mean, even I was in Dublin during the week there, and people are talking about the Donegal young players. And that's great because it takes the pressure off the other lads that are there, and it means there's more players have to be marked. And it was great to get Oisín Gallan on the field the last game. We know how quality a forward is. He is. Where is Jamie Brennan close to getting back or not? So a lot of talent, particularly in the forward lane, Donegal, and they will create goals stages, particularly when teams have to push up on them, and that makes a big difference. So they are capable of creating goals, and I said, though, and look at a lot of them, as we see for their clubs, Oisín, week in, week out, are well able to kick points. So I'd like to see the point tally go to about 14 or 15. And then after, you know, from now here on in, because I think that'll be important to win matches, because there are a lot of very tough matches in league and championship to come from that point of view. But there's a lot of talent. So looking at, you know, we didn't concede a goal against Tyrone the last day. That's good for Sean Patton and the defence. You know, we have to say it was good to see, you know, Steve McMenamin getting game time as well. So things are just maybe coming together right for Tyrone, but the Monaghan game, it's a dangerous game, in my opinion, a very dangerous game. It's important that Donegal, you know, we were underdogs probably going in against Tyrone. We're favourites going in. And we know Irish teams don't do favours well, and Donegal don't do favours well.
Dermot, looking just at the other games, and if I was to say to you at the start of the campaign that Dublin would be on the verge of relegation to Division 2, you probably would have thought it was off my head. But if Donegal wins, Tyrone won, and Kildare won in Armagh, the Dubs are going to be relegated, so they are. And that's something that nobody would have actually considered at the start of the campaign, Dermot.
Very, very hard to believe, and particularly when you see some of the quality players that they have on the football field at the minute. Now, I do think when you look at it on the whole, their panel probably isn't just as strong as it has been previously throughout the years. But I know that at the minute, Monaghan have to play Donegal, then they have to play Kildare, and then they have to play Dublin last game of the year. So I don't know what way the results will go, but that last game against Dublin looks like it's going to be a nail-biter, and it could decide who's going up or down.
Yeah, well, results over the next couple of weeks pan out against those two sides. Both could be relegated come the last weekend when they actually meet. Are Tyrone in a good place, even despite defeat against Donegal, going in to play a Dublin team that really doesn't have any confidence at the moment, Dermot? Can you see Tyrone winning this one?
I wouldn't say they're necessarily in a good place, but they're not in a bad place. They could be in a worse place. Do I think they can beat Dublin? Absolutely. Dublin have looked very vulnerable for the first time in a long time. There's a lot of chinks in their armour. Now, Dublin, like everyone else, they have a couple of more players to come back into the panel, which will obviously strengthen them, but I wouldn't be shocked to see Tyrone beat Dublin.
Martin, you would expect Tyrone to be chomping at the bit against the Dubs on Sunday at Hilly Park?
Yeah, exactly. You know, in Hilly Park, you'd expect that. And they'd be disappointed in their second half performance against Donegal as well. But just Lee Brennan has left the panel during the week, and they won the All Ireland. That's six players now that I make it that has actually left the panel, and a lot of quality players, you know, that other counties would be crying out to have. So maybe they have the strength and depth and everybody else to make the difference. But you know, they've lost these players, so that's the one probably fear they have. But yeah, I expect it to be a big game, because Dublin, you know, they're looking out, if they lose this game, that they've been relegated. And I mean, as you said, would anybody believe that at the start of the year that they'd be relegated? So I think from their point of view, it's a disappointing and everything else, but they'll not mind coming to Omagh, and I think that'll be a big battle. And hopefully we, Donegal, have beaten Monaghan, and we can sit down and relax and enjoy that match afterwards.
Can Kildare win an Armagh on Saturday?
They absolutely can. I think that Monaghan probably showed, whenever they had 15 men on the field, a couple of the vulnerabilities that Armagh may have. And I'm sure Kildare will be studying that game hard. I've seen Kildare only in the highlights. I watched them against Kerry, and I've seen them most recently. And they're no bad outfit. A couple of real good footballers. They're tactically well set up. And it's going to take a good team to beat them. I know, looking at the Kildare Tyrone game, that just one or two foolish turnovers in the middle of the field that resulted in the ball in the back of the net. And if Kildare can reduce that, they'll be no easy team beat, and a definite confidence booster for them beating Dublin there last week.
Yeah. Martin, the two form teams in Division 1, Kerry and Mayo, are going to meet in the Kingdom on Saturday evening. Will either of these sides be looking to make a statement on each other, given the fact that they're both seen now as the top two contenders already for the Sam Maguire? Unfortunately, we're just having problems with Martin's mic at the moment. So, Dermot, maybe I'll go back to you on that one. Will there be a statement made by either of these sides at the weekend?
I think there will. It will be a very exciting game. You know, Kerry and Mayo, unlike some of the other teams, they play a slightly different brand of football where they all go with a high press, looking for high turnovers. Both teams will be doing it. I'll be expecting a high-scoring game, plenty of intensity, plenty of hits. And I don't think when these two have ever played down through the years, they've ever disappointed us. So, yeah, I think it'll be a humdinger of a battle, that one.
Unfortunately, Martin's having difficulty in here. Dermot, just me and you, so it is.
Good. Well, at least I can say that the Monaghan Wi-Fi is possibly better than the Donegal Wi-Fi. So 1-0 to us already.
He's not even in Donegal. He's in Cavan, Dermot. So he is.
Oh, well, it's a definitely better Wi-Fi. I think it could be still black on my television there, maybe.
Yeah. Well, listen, the two of us will keep going, so we will. Maybe we'll dip into Division 2 just briefly, Dermot, before we let you go. Derry taking on Roscommon. Derry have been flying. They are unbeaten. They're currently joint top with Galway. They're going to host Galway next weekend, but before that, they have to go to the Hyde to take on Roscommon. What's your thoughts on Derry this year?
They've been Derry, very yeah. good football. Derry have improved dramatically. We played them at the start of last year in a challenge match, and they play very, very similar to a Division 1 team, and it is absolutely no surprise now how well they're doing in Division 2. I think Monaghan might have played them in the McKenna Cup, and they just play very, very similar to all the top teams. Their mistakes are really low. They're really good on all kickouts and set pieces, and it's going to take a very good team to beat Derry this year in Division 2. I would be very surprised now if I didn't see them going up. And yeah.
Okay, we'll try and get speaking to Martin again. Maybe he might hear us. Martin, Dermot reckons that the broadband in Monaghan's better than Cavan.
It looks that way, all right. Well, everything started always everything started always in Monaghan. Monaghan are always ahead of Cavan. That's what the Cavan people are up. You know, they were definitely all ahead. I know we have a problem here with the broadband and it's not great, but I'm back. I'm all right now. But it's just interesting talking about Derry there. You know, there's three teams there. There's Roscommon, Galway and Derry, and there's two of them going to go up. And I was just thinking the other day, which could happen, if Monaghan stay up and we'll see that Kildare and Dublin go down, which is very possible, possibly could happen, that you'd have five teams in Division 1 from Ulster, none from Leinster, and two from Connacht and one from Munster, which would be unbelievable. There'd be no Leinster team, particularly Dublin in Division 1, if that happens, Josh.
Yeah, so guys, we're going to wrap things up and we're going to go back to Donegal and Monaghan. So, Martin, how are you calling it this weekend? How do you see it?
Well, I don't ever like predicting a Donegal victory. And, you know, we're going to need to build on the performance, the second half performance, totally different game and everything else. Monaghan are always more physical and they'll get into your faces more than Tyrone do the way they play and everything else. And they'll play it at a high tempo and everything else. So Donegal will be ready for that and everything else. You know, the young lads are making a difference. Suppose the difference is depend on what amount of players is back on both sides. If Donegal would have, you know, either Michael Langan or Michael Murphy back, even on the bench, would make a big difference. I just would say, I wouldn't rule out a draw. I just think maybe Donegal have enough to get over the line. The fact that Monaghan are missing the players that you talked about early on, that they were the players that give us the biggest problems the last day.
Martin's on the fence. He'll take a draw. Dermot, what about you? Would you be happy enough for a point heading back to Monaghan?
I don't think so. I don't think I'd be happy enough with a pint. But looking at it now, Donegal's home record in Ballybofey, the volume of injuries that Monaghan have. If I was a betting man, I think Donegal would be hard to beat. But I'm not a betting man. I'm a Monaghan man. So I'm going to give Monaghan to edge it by 1 point. And again, just to cover all my bases, Monaghan have drew probably 9 games in the last 18 months. So a draw will not be far away either. So I'd say Donegal are going to win. I'll back Monaghan. A draw is not unlikely.
Okay, just when we have you on, Dermot, then, before we let you go, Ulster Championship, obviously coming up. That's somewhere that Monaghan want to get back to the top of the tree, and so they do at provincial level.
Yeah, it's been quite some time now. 2015 probably is the last time we won an Ulster title. Had our chance to bridge that gap last year, but didn't do it. We're beaten by the better team on the day, and that's definitely a goal I'm sure Seamus O'Ganany will have as a starting point, but as much as it is your goal, you can't look past the first game in the championship. So that's what they'll be gearing towards and taking it game by game.
We could meet along the way at some stage come championship too, Dermot. It's a possibility. So
definitely a possibility. Yeah. And I'd imagine in a couple of months' time, hopefully teams will be at full strength and we'll get a better picture. But looking forward to it.
Okay. Listen, Dermot, many thanks for joining us. Delighted to have you on the programme today. Also, to you, Martin McHugh, don't forget there's full live match commentary from Donegal against Monaghan on Highland with myself and Martin. Throne time's 1:45. We'll be live from 1:30. You'll not miss a beat from McCool Park this coming weekend. Martin and Dermot, thanks for joining me once again.
Thank you, Washington. All the best, Martin.
See you, Dermot. Bye.
There you go, that's Dermot Malone and Martin McHugh looking ahead to Donegal against Monaghan and having a brief talk on the other games as well. Once again, that interview in full is available now to watch in the sports section of HighlandRadio.com. Martin did have slight issues with broadband when he was in Cavan earlier today when we recorded that piece, but they managed to overcome it, and that's now available to watch in full online on our website. Finally, we're going to go to boxing. A couple of notices of events happening this weekend. The National Championships for boys and girls age 14, 15 and 16 will take place in Dublin over the next 4 weekends. Donegal have 10 boxers competing at the championships, and the action starts 7 o'clock on Friday night. Ellie's Golden Gloves will host a major tournament on Saturday, March 12th. It takes place in the halfway in Burnfoot, 14 contests down for decision. The first bell is at 8 o'clock. While next Wednesday, on St Patrick's Eve, March 16th, Dunfanaghy Boxing Club will stage a bumper tournament in the Osnum Centre. There will be 14 contests there as well, and the action also gets underway at 8 o'clock. And that is it from the Score for tonight. Hope you enjoyed the programme. You can, of course, listen back to the full show on our website, HighlandRadio.com. Our next sport here in Highland is tomorrow morning with Chris Ashmore after the 8:30 news. So what's left of your Thursday? Have a good one. Enjoy it.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.